Let's read together from Paul's book to Timothy. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I might be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power and love and self-discipline. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to the reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Have you ever been involved in raising a kid or a baby? And what was it like? I bet you there were times of great joy. And why? Because you saw development, a first word, a first step, and in some way you were involved in it. You helped it along. Gave you great joy. Now, and John says, he knows of no greater joy than seeing his children live in the truth. He saw something, but he saw something different. Not just physical development or emotional, intellectual development, but spiritual development. A connection with reality, and they start living in a certain way. Has another benchmark, an idea of what it means to be fully human and fully alive. And I wonder whether that isn't the reason why we stop celebrating our growth at a certain stage. I wonder whether we don't put too much emphasis on physical development and intellectual development and not in the other aspects of development. Gives us a lot of joy to see somebody grow, prosper, flourish. But there's not just joy. There's an African saying that I believe in. It takes a village to raise a kid. It's not an easy thing, and you cannot do it by yourself. You know, as parents, it's not enough just a father and a mother. There's so much more is needed. And that's why we can sometimes feel that we're totally unequipped to do it. Didn't it come too early for you? Now, perhaps you were physically prepared to have children, but suddenly you realize this, I don't know whether I have the maturity, the wisdom that is needed to raise a child. That's why one of my friends says that he thinks God doesn't give us children for us to raise them up, but God gives us children so that they can raise us up and make us mature. So God will send us Timothy's children our way, to accompany. And I wonder if you can take just a few moments and think about the Timothys in your life. If you have children, of course, they are Timothys. But perhaps there's another member in your family that you realize has a need, a need, accompaniment, and in a way you can perhaps assist. Perhaps you're a coach or you're a teacher, and there's those three children in the class that you're just drawn to and just realize that But perhaps there's something more that I can do and must do with these children. Or just a colleague can even be older than what you are. It's new in the field and you can accompany them. Now, a big question is, how do I become a Paul? How can I accompany a Timothy? I found a few of my friends who I think are master Pauls, and I ask them, what would you say if you only had 5 minutes to tell somebody what's the most important thing in accompaniment or coaching? Or, you know, of course, it's a huge field that we're touching on here. It's the whole field of education, of development, human development. It's a science by itself, but it's also an art. And I came up with one big idea, and they didn't all use the word, but the idea was there, that the biggest thing perhaps is your presence and to be able to bless somebody. That's perhaps the number one sign of maturity, to be able to bless. Now, what does it mean to bless? Literally from the Greek and the Latin, is to speak something well of somebody else. And this is exactly what Paul did. That this is how he starts and ends all his letters. Listen to Timothy, he said, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. And that wasn't just a way of saying, hi, Timothy. It was blessing Timothy. And perhaps if we can look at what would it mean to bless somebody. Three big things. I bless somebody by seeing him or her, by saying something, and then by sowing something, giving something away. So first of all, seeing somebody. If you want to bless, you've got to learn to pay attention. But what do I look at? There's so much to look at, but as an entry point, as a door, three things. I see good. I see something good in somebody. Everybody has something good in them. And I look in a non-exploitive way. I've no personal gain or interest in the way that I look at somebody. I see somebody's energy, perhaps their physical look, their ideas. And it is wonderful to me. I acknowledge it. I accept it. And I find delight in it. It's exactly what the Father did when he blessed his Son with his baptism. The Father said, this is my Son with whom I'm well pleased. And one of the translations says, in whom I have a delight. I enjoy it and I enjoy him or her and what he has. That's blessing somebody. I remember one of my earliest memories I have of a blessing was of my grandfather. I did something and he looked at me and he just sort of grinned and said, huh. And it sent the shivers through me. I got goosebumps. Energy flew through me. And at that moment, I felt this world is too small for me. I was only 4 years old and I could remember it. I was blessed. He saw something in me and he thought it was good and he was impressed by it. It's wonderful. Have you ever had that experience? Just somebody looking at you. And then to see the gifts in you. That's what Paul did. He saw the gifts in Timothy. Now, you would only be able to see it once you've discovered your own gifts. You cannot give what you don't have. This is not flattery. This is holding up a mirror to somebody, saying, and can you see it? Can you see what I say? Look at it. Look at yourself. It's a wonderful journey of self-discovery with somebody else. If you have the gift of a Paul in your life, or if you can be a Paul, helping a Timothy see. Now, I'm a cyclist, and I can spot a cyclist. But I can also see when somebody's new to cycling, just the way that he sits. You know, and if your knees passes the handlebars, you haven't got the right setup. And it's not good. You know, you won't be able to use the right muscles. You're going to get back pain. And I sometimes I've just felt like, you stay able to invite me to say something because I can help them to do it better, to become a better cyclist, because they'll never reach their potential by cycling that way. And I think that's what Paul did, you know. He looked at Timothy and he said, Timothy, I see something in you, evangelist. We should all be witnesses, but some of us are going to be evangelists. And I said, so discharge all the duties of your ministry. Become an evangelist. Paul says, I'm a herald and an apostle and a teacher to the heathen. I know I've got my niche market. I know who it's for. I know what I should do. I should preach. I should announce. I'm somebody sent. I'm an apostle. And I can teach people things. But you are different. So a Paul doesn't want to make a Timothy a Paul. Just to become like him. I am with you so that you can discover who you are. So that you can become who you are. But there's another thing that you should see. Pain. Paul says, I'm reminded of your tears. I remember how you cried. I'm a witness to it. And he doesn't try to fix it. You know, because everybody has pain. And I've got a friend who says that just remember this. Whenever you meet with anybody, they sit next to a pool of tears. We all have our pain. We all tried things. We are all trying things that doesn't work out exactly the way we want it to work out. We have our cross to carry. We have our cup to drink. Things that we would have not chosen for ourselves that are part of our lives that we've got to live with. And it's painful. Oh, the wonderful gift to have somebody as a witness to your pain and then just to be there with you. It makes it bearable. And then after you've seen things, you know, say something. It's one of the first things we read in the Bible is that God created by the power of his word. He said it and it happened. And he blessed. You know, he looked at Adam and Eve and he said, they are wonderful. They are very good. He said it. You know, and it has a tremendous effect on your conscience and your consciousness. If you hear those words, you live with a different consciousness. That's what happened to Jesus with his baptism. He went into ministry, known that he was blessed and that the Father is with him and would be with him forever. And that's what he taught. And he taught everybody, listen, it doesn't matter what your circumstances are. You can be blessed. Live with that consciousness. Unfortunately, a lot of us were brought up with a cursed consciousness. It's exactly the opposite as being blessed. And it is much worse than a few words that we would utter in traffic or if the on the golf course, you know, those words are small in comparison to cursing somebody by ignoring somebody. The opposite of blessing somebody. Of saying you are welcome here. Say, you are not welcome here. Who do you think you are? You're an idiot. And some of us are brought up that way. And perhaps unintentionally. You know, we just feel that we don't fit in anywhere. And nowhere that we come, we are celebrated. And people can see who we really are and what we have. In exactly the opposite of a blessed consciousness. You're welcome. You're important and you've got gifts. And you're so welcome here. So Paul starts his letters with a blessing, but then right through his letters, he makes Timothy aware of things that he has, things that are in him. He said, Timothy, you received the gift from God and it's in you. You received the Spirit of God. And now you can be strong. So Paul does not teach and just give Timothy a lot of things that he should do. Before you can do something, you've got to have the conviction of your ability to be able to do it. He said, God has not given us a spirit of timidity. That's why, Paul, Timothy, be strong. Be strong. You received a spirit of self-discipline. Fan the flame within you. Do you know who you are? Now you can live it. Now you can do it. The third thing that Paul did was that it cost him something to bless. It's not just words. It's in what you do for the person that you accompany. He used his connections to help Timothy become the pastor in Ephesus. And then he told the Philippians, I'm going to send Timothy to you soon. You need a visitor. And of course, it was for Timothy's sake as well, that Timothy, you should perhaps travel a bit, get exposed to something else. So he used his connections, his power, his influence to open up opportunities for Timothy to develop. He believed Timothy had that ability in him. And that's how we handled Timothy. I'm busy, involved with my grandchild to help him walk. I've never seen him walk. I've got no evidence that he would ever walk and be able to walk. I've tried to assist him a few times. He fell down, couldn't do it. But I'm not giving up. I believe he has that ability inside of him. Someday, any time now, he's going to start doing it. You know? And Goethe said, treat a man as he is, and he will remain as he is. Treat a man as he can and he should be, and he will become as he can and he should be. It is the way that we look, but it's the way that we handle. It's the way that we assist. What we say, being with Timothy, that makes a big, big difference. Now, he wrote this letter to Timothy and he said, I want to visit you. It's time that we should get together. So the email, social media is not enough for contact. There's a saying, it's more caught than taught. And Paul was willing to give him the gift of his presence and the gift of his time to be with him. One of the things that happened, and he reminded him about it, was that the ceremonial blessing that took place. He, like the priests who first had to stretch out their hands towards the people and say that God will be with you and the peace of God would be with you in number 6. And God said, if you do that, I will bless them. And Paul reminded Timothy, that's the same type of thing that happened when we were together. I laid my hands on you and I prayed for you and I asked God and God did something for you. So there's things that happen by being together. It's more caught than taught. So friends, where are you today? Who's the Timothys in your life? How serious do you take this relationships? Are you very intentional about it? Do you pray about it? Do you pray for your Timothy? Do you plan to spend time and wonder what's the next step? How can I bless him or her at the place where they're in their life at this moment? Some of us are especially called to accompany people. And of course, there's so many opportunities today to study, even if you don't have a degree. You know, some courses that you could take. Paul tells Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God. Find out what you can about what it is, what it entails to accompany somebody. Perhaps you're at another place. You've never received it. You feel, I can't help anybody. I haven't received it. And you're at a bad place because you can't bless yourself. And you can't force somebody else to bless you. Peter's advice is, bless. That's what you're called to do, bless. So that you can receive a blessing. So even though you don't feel that you've got it, why don't you just start doing it and see what happens to you? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the way that you've made us. Thank you for the people that you send into our lives. Thank you for the Timothys. And for a lot of times, it's just for a season that we'll be with somebody to accompany them in their growth, in their development, in their flourishing. We thank you for that. Thank you for all the relationships in our lives that you send and help us and use as means of grace. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now receive the blessing of the Lord, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.